verses 1 through 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Looking at his disciples, he said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already revived your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to all men speak well of you, for that is how the fathers treated the false prophets. Dad, could you come sing this next song with us?
Mark your books at number 464. Mark your books at number 464. This will be the song sung in invitation after we're through with the lesson. Thank you, Ben and Johnny. Doing a good job. Appreciate it. They both read very well the scripture tonight. Ben read from Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. Everybody in here probably has heard the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Da-da-da-da-da, right? We all know that scripture, but I love reading Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Now, part of the reason I like reading Luke chapter 6, verse 20 is because Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything in here. There's no ambiguity going on. He just tells it like it is, exactly so I can understand it. And sometimes I need to be told that way. You know, I need to be talked to that way. He says, Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Okay. The poor, the kingdom of God. Hey, a kingdom is pretty good, okay? If I'm poor, I'll take the kingdom. Blessed are you who hunger now, what? For you will be satisfied. Okay, I can understand that. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and they insult you, and they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how your fathers treated the prophets. I love that scripture. I love that reading of it, because when I'm hungry, what do I want? I want food. I want to be filled. And somebody says, hey, Eddie, you're going to get dinner. I'm happy. He's saying, hey, whenever you're hungry, you're going to get filled. It says, whenever you're satisfied, and whenever you weep, you're going to laugh. Your joy is going to be, your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. It's easy for me to understand. And whenever I go from there, I turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Now, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks more towards the spiritual side. And by looking at what he wrote in Luke chapter 6, what was written in Luke chapter 6, it helps me to understand in some ways Matthew chapter 5, and I hope it helps you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If being poor means that I'm going to earn a kingdom, when I read this, it says, when I'm poor in my spirit, when my spirit is feeling low, when I'm feeling like I'm hopeless, like I'm feeling like I'm lost, whenever I need something to guide me, it's there. The kingdom of heaven, the glory, the answer is there waiting for me. It says, whenever blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who are gentle in spirit, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will get their righteousness. I understand that I need something. I understand that I'm hungry. I understand whenever I'm feeling down and I'm feeling desperate. There are times when I just can't seem to get things going. There's been times in my life I couldn't get things going. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out in the world that are trying to get things going. Blessed because of Jesus. But the second part of this, of chapter 5, I think is interesting because he kind of shifts gears a little bit. And I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but the first part is about what I need. I'm dying. I need something. You know, whenever you're desperate and you need, you're dying and you go to the doctor helps you. I can understand that. When I'm hungry, I can understand that. Whenever I'm sad, I can understand that. And so the second part says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What is important in this part to me is these three verses are talking about me, what I can do. You know, when I'm hungry, sometimes I have no choice but to be hungry. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I need somebody, and when I say I have no choice, I can't, maybe I just don't have any money right now. Maybe I'm out on the street. Maybe I'm living in a third world country. Maybe I'm someplace where I have no way of getting food. How do I get food? Somebody's going to have to help me, right? Somebody's going to bring it to me. What a joy that is. Stop and think about it. What a joy it is whenever you're hungry. I remember my dad used to talk about my great aunt, and they lived right across the, there was a field, just it was like a block worth of fields right next to us. I remember walking through those and being chased by bumblebees. They were like, okay, it's this field, and then on the other side were some more houses. And the only thing I can really remember about these houses is they all had tornado cellars. So I didn't know any other houses that had tornado cellars, but they all had tornado cellars. And so we'd go over there and we'd walk over to my aunt's, and we'd get there. And I remember my dad saying that one time my grandmother, not my grandmother, my great aunt and the family were walking to church. And as they walked to church, they realized that they were down to their last desperate dime. They had no money. They got to church and they gave their last dime to the church, much like the lady with the, you know, in the Bible. And they gave the last one, and on the way back, walking back, they found some money on the sidewalk. And that's the only way they ate that day. It was a gift given to them. Now, I'm supposing, I don't know why anybody would lie to me about this story, so I'm going to take it for face value that that's really, truly what happened. That they gave their last coin and they found food. Can you imagine what it was like, though, sitting during service? Think about it. What was it like sitting during service? Put your last coin in, you feel your stomach rumble a little bit, you go, now what? Hey, Mom, what's for lunch? I don't know. They found money on the way home, and that's how they fed. Sometimes I don't have a clue as to how I'm going to get fed, because sometimes it's not up to me to decide. Spiritually, we get to this point sometimes where we're starving, we're hungry, we need something spiritually. And I, Eddie, cannot figure out how to get it for myself. I try. I read the books. I watch the TV. I do all the things I'm supposed to do, right? According to some people. I'm trying. I listen to the right people, but I can't get filled. I'm still hungry. I still need something. I need filling. And I turn to Jesus, and Jesus fills me. The first part of this is about what I need. It's about being, in my opinion, it's about being desperate. It's about it's about being sick. It's about being hungry. It's about being needing Jesus to come fill me. Remember the story? And I almost did this. I almost talked about this today. The story about the man and Jairus, who comes to Jesus, and he says, "Jesus," he says, "I'm a high-ranking official," and he bows down to Jesus. Whoa. Can you imagine everybody going, "Whoa, look at this"? It'd be like the president coming to Eddie and coming to me and saying, "Hey, Eddie," and getting down on his knee, "can you help me? I can't figure out what to do about the rest of the world." What would he ask me? I don't know. But he comes to me and asks me, and people would go, "Oh, what's this? Is the president coming and talking to Eddie, asking him direction?" Jairus was desperate. "My daughter is dying. I need somebody to save her. Will you come save her? Will you come take care of her?" And Jesus said, "I'd be glad to." And they start walking towards his house. And as they're walking, there was a lady who had an issue of blood. Now, I don't really know. I've heard all these different theories and ideas what exactly that was. But she's got a problem, and she's unclean. And she's desperate. She's tried to get better. She's had doctors. She's had people. She's done things to try to get better, and she's gotten worse. She's desperate. And she comes to Jesus. She says, "I'm unworthy." And so she comes and she just touches his hem. The relief. She can feel that she's made whole again. And she's turning to go, and she's probably thinking, "I did it. I got healed." And she's leaving, and Jesus says, "Who touched me?" She knew better at least not to try to deny it. And she said, "Oh, it was me." And for the second time, somebody bows down to Jesus and says, "It was me. I was desperate. I needed healing." So what happens is he heals him. Now I can think, what's Jairus thinking? What's Jairus thinking? "Jesus, my daughter's dying. Come on, what are you doing? You're standing here talking to this poor woman." But it doesn't say you ever said that. That's how I'd feel. Because he was desperate. "Jesus, come on, come on." It's like the little kid, you know, "Dad, Dad," he's pulling you. He wants Jesus to come. He's needing Jesus to come. And this is what Matthew chapter 5 is about, or at least the first part is about, what do I need? Am I desperate? Do I need Jesus? And it says in Luke chapter 6, it says that the person that's rich doesn't need Jesus. The person that's rich already has his reward. The person who is filled, well, he's going to end up being hungry. The person who's laughing now, he's going to weep. Jesus will give us the answer. And then it says, though, like I said, in the second part is, what can I do? And it said, but there's something also that's even, in my opinion, it's glorious, it's wonderful. The idea that if I will show mercy, then I will receive mercy. If I will show peace, if I will be a peacemaker, I will inherit, I will be called the Son of God. If I am pure in heart, then I will get to see God. And then there's one last part. And the last part says, what do the rest of the world see? What does the rest of the world see? You know what they're going to see? They're going to see a desperate man who's turned to Jesus. They're going to see a man who's showing mercy when the world is saying, give me, give me, give me. They're going to show a man who's showing peace when the rest of the world is saying, you know, hey, that we gotta have justice, we gotta have whatever, you know, kind of a thing. Let's just go out there and, you know, it's man for man, it's a dog eat dog world. They're gonna see somebody not like them. And I will argue this, that one of two things will happen. One of them, people will reject me if I do this. One of them, people will say, Eddie, you're crazy, you're nuts. Go away. I will also argue that it goes on to read, and we didn't read this, right after this, what does it talk about? Does anybody remember? Right after the Beatitudes? Ye are the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill. If we will do these things, we will shine. We will become a beacon. We will say, I put up a sign out front. Let's try this sometime. We ought to do this sometime. Put up a sign out front that says, Tuesday morning, come here and we will fill your stomachs and you can eat. And we're going to have a breakfast for anybody who wants to show up. You think anybody would show up? I'm just guessing. Probably. Now, let's do that 2 weeks in a row. Okay? What's this going to happen the second week? You get a few more people, right? Now let's take down the sign. Let's just do it without saying anything. You think anybody will show up? I bet you we have more. People become desperate. They need us. Now, I don't mean to be desperate like, okay, so Eddie, what if I've already found Jesus? I understand. We're talking about the fact that whenever we have pain, whenever we are in sorrow, when we are hungry, when we are poor of spirit, whenever we've forgotten how to be merciful, when we've forgotten how to cause peace, when we've forgotten to be pure, we can turn to Jesus and he will make us right. So, don't know if you got anything out of today's lesson, but it came from the scripture, and I pray that I just pray that God can speak through all of us. And now I'm going to ask Jay and Johnny to come up and lead us in a song as we stand and sing.